Welcome to the official podcast of Apostolic Lighthouse. We'd like to thank you for listening today. We pray this message blesses you and encourages you to see that God is working in your life. Enjoy the message.
Amen. So my title tonight is The Great Contrast. The Great Contrast. And I want to read an entire chapter of the Bible. Luckily, it's only six verses, so it won't take too long. But it's Psalm chapter 1. And let me just read through it. Verse 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. I'm going to talk about the great contrast. The great contrast. Now, to contrast something or a couple things is to find out the differences, right, between a couple things. It's to compare in respect to the differences of something. Amen. And, you know, there's many contrasting things in our life, right? Like, 12 noon is much different than 12 midnight. There's a contrast there. Positive versus negative, that's a big contrast. Happy versus sad, big contrast. Healthy versus sick, full versus empty, busy versus bored, big contrast. But I want to talk about a great contrast. And Psalm chapter 1 lets us know the contrast between two types of people. This chapter describes a clear distinction between these two types of people, because in God's eyes, there are really only two types of people. Even though there's all kinds of people, all kinds of walks of life, all kinds of opinions and way of thought patterns and beliefs and so forth, really the Bible boils it down to two types of people, the unsaved and the saved, the ungodly and the godly, the unrighteous and the righteous, the unjust and the just, those that walk in darkness and those that walk in his light, those that do keep his commandments and those that don't. You know, and you say, well, you know what you mean? There's no middle ground. You know, isn't there good people? Yeah, there's good people in the world, but goodness in and of itself can't take anybody to heaven. We need to be saved, right? You know, the Bible said there's none good, no, not one, but God, and all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's why we need the Lord. Amen. And so we need to trust in his goodness. And, you know, several times when you read the book of Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, several times there's the contrast between the wise person and the foolish person. And it talks about that contrast. Amen. Like, for instance, a fool says in his or her heart that there is no God, but a wise person sees the earth and all its wonder and beauty and knows it couldn't have been just an accident. It couldn't have been just a big bang thing. It couldn't have just randomly happened, but it had to come about through intelligent design, through a great architect. And so the wise person believes in the creator, the God of the universe. 2 Corinthians 6:14 talks about contrasts. He said, what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? What concord has Christ with Belial? And Belial is like another name for an evil spirit, the devil. What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? He said, for ye are the temple of the living God. Amen. And so there really is no middle ground with God. The person blessed by God, the person we read about in Psalms 1, chooses wisely and strives to live their life the way God intended them to live it. The ungodly person chooses his or her own way, ignoring God's purpose, God's will, and God's word. You know, the Bible said there is a way that seems right to a person, but that way is the way of death when it doesn't go along with God's will and God's word. And he said, all we like sheep have gone astray. And that's why he came and died for us, so that we could get on the right path. Joshua 24:15 said, if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the God which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So see, it's our choice to be whatever person we're going to be, but there's not 3 or 5 or 20 choices. It's God's way, and it's the world's way. 1 Kings 18:21, Elijah went before the people and said, how long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if you think Baal is God, then follow him. In other words, we got to make up our minds, right? We can't just be in this holding pattern, because that's not a good thing. We need to choose. You know, we've heard about, you know, fence walkers. Like, you know, you walk the top of the fence, the block wall, and you go, well, let's see. I'm not in that yard, and I'm not in that yard. I'm on the top of the fence. Well, a fence walker is not going to, that's not a choice. You haven't made your choice yet. You know, this block wall is going to run out sometime. I got to get off. I got to get in the right yard. And there's only two choices, really, when it comes to things of God. Or, you know, they say, what about the middle of the roaders? Well, I just want to be in the middle of the road, you know. But there was a pastor one time that said, you know, those people that are in the middle of the road are going to get run over. You got to get on. Are you going down these lanes, or are you coming down these lanes? Well, I'm just standing on those yellow lines, just kind of deciding, you know, which way I'm going to go. No, we can't be in the middle of the road. We got to choose. And it's just one or the other. Joel 3:14 says, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. The day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. So, you know, the valley of decision is a place that we pass through in our lives. We come to forks in the road. We come to decisions. We have to make choices. But the valley of decision is not a place to build your house and live there permanently. We got to make our choices. Amen. Revelation 3:15, a powerful passage. This passage actually is what knocked me on the head and got me looking for God way back 40-some years ago. Amen. Revelation 3:15, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Powerful words, Jesus said. Amen. So see, he's looking, he's, you know, really there's cold and there's hot, because he said lukewarm doesn't count. It's not a decision. Amen. It's like a faucet that's dripping. It's not on, it's not off, it's dripping. I don't want to be a drippy. You know, I want to be on, you know. Amen. And so we need, because the thing about lukewarm is some people that are lukewarm, they think they're okay, but you're not hot. You know, hot kills the germs. Hot, you know, hot is hot. When you're hot, you're hot. When you're not, you're not. And you know what? I mean, God knows, and we should know. Amen. And obviously, when people are cold, you know, they know they're cold. Like, you know, I'm cold. I know I'm not where I need to be with God. But lukewarm, so, oh, well, you know, I mean, I'm probably okay, you know. And but we need to be hot. So to be saved, though, because I talked about being good, and you know, because it talks about you know, the blessed person is talking about the righteous person, and it's not talking about, you know, working your way to heaven or trying to be as good as you can on your own. No, we need God's goodness and God's righteousness. It's His Spirit, His blood, His name. It's all those things that make us what we need to be, trusting in those things. And so to be saved, to be godly, to be righteous, and to be just can only be accomplished through His blood, through His name, through His Spirit, His grace, and His word. We need those things. Those are the things we're trusting, not our own righteousness, because our own righteousness falls short. Amen. So it's not our own righteousness, our own works, or our own merit that is going to get us to heaven. It's trusting in what He did on the cross and what His word does, His Spirit does for us, His name. 1 Corinthians 6:11, and such were some of you. Now, if you read above that, it talks about the works of the flesh, and those that are involved in the works of the flesh, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. And He gets down and He said, and such were some of you. Were. The way we were is not the way we are. And that's the beautiful thing. We're different. Amen. We're not all what God wants us to be, maybe, yet, because but we're working on it day by day. But we're not what we used to be. We're on our way, and we're every day we're letting God's grace and His life and His word touch us and change us. He said, such were some of you, but you're washed, sanctified, and justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. That's what made the difference. Ephesians 2:8 said, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Like, you didn't save yourself. Amen. God did it. It's the gift of God that did it, and it's not of our works, lest anybody should boast. You know? Nobody's going to get up to, you know, everybody's got the jokes about, you know, Peter at the, you know, pearly gates, and there's nothing going to be like that at all. I'm sorry to tell you, because that's, you know, people misinterpreting the Bible. We're standing before Jesus. You know, Peter's not the one like, okay, well, let me see if I'll let you in. You know, no, we're standing before the Lord, and we'll talk about that in a second. But nobody can boast. Nobody's going to, you know, stand in the gate and say, hey, you know, here's a million, you know, here's $1 billion. I was a billionaire. That ain't going to cut it. You know, here's my name. I had a big name down on earth. That doesn't mean nothing up there. When you stand before God, you're going to stand not with your, what you did in business or what you did in, you know, making a name for yourself. You're going to stand, and your works are going to be what judges you. Your life. What did you do with your life, especially when you knew and when you were shown about this beautiful plan, this wonderful gospel, this great God who came down and died for us? What did you do with that? That's what is really going to be the bottom line. Titus 3:5 said, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, notice we're not justified by our works, we're justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And that's the hope we all have today. Amen. The hope of eternal life. Amen. So once God has saved us, which means we've been born again, then it's up to us to be led by His Spirit. It's up to us to choose to walk with the Lord and to fear Him, to keep His commandments, and to do our best to do those things which are pleasing in His sight, right? That's what we're doing every day. We're trying to do that. So the great contrast is that there are only two types of people in the world. We already talked about that. And they are destined to only two types of eternities. Two types of people, two types of eternities. There's not three or four, you know, five or six different, you know, choices or places to go or whatever. One is an eternity in heaven with Jesus forever. And the other is an eternity in hell, the lake of fire, without Jesus forever. I don't know about you, but I want the first one. Amen. I want to be the blessed person made righteous by his blood and his spirit and his name, and trying to do my best to follow him every day and keep his word. And I want to spend eternity in heaven with Jesus forever. Praise God. Notice this. Jesus gave some parables. And Matthew 13, he gives the parable of an owner of a big field, big fields, and they planted wheat in the fields. And when nobody was looking, one night the enemy came in, and the King James said they planted tares in the field. And in other versions, that's another way of saying tares is weeds. They planted a bunch of weeds with the wheat, and before they knew it, the weeds started coming up and started like getting intertwined with all the wheat plants. And the servants of this man that worked his field came in and said, oh sir, you know, we have a big problem. Somebody, when nobody was looking, somebody came in, the enemy came in and planted weeds in all of your wheat fields, and they're all in there and whatever. And he said, should we go in and pull them out right now? And he goes, no, don't pull them out. Matthew 13:29. Because when you pull the weeds up, you might also uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At harvest time, I'll tell the reapers, gather the weeds first, tie them up in bundles and burn them, but collect the wheat in my barn. Now remember, a parable was about a story about a natural thing, like sheep and shepherds, like vineyards, like, you know, farming. But it was to prove and to teach a spiritual truth. And the wheat are the blessed, and the weeds are the ungodly. And you see, why, you know, you say, well, during this dispensation of grace, how come God isn't ripping up all these weeds out of here, you know, out of this world, and, you know, that's trying to mess around with God's people? And sometimes he said, you know, first of all, maybe he's given those weeds, not maybe, he is giving those weeds a chance to become a wheat, to change their nature. Amen. Because we're in the dispensation of grace where God's not on the judgment seat. He's on the mercy seat, like I preached a couple Sundays ago. Let them both grow up right now, but when the time comes, there will be a separation. Amen. And I don't want to be a weed, because the weeds get bundled up and they get burned, but the wheat goes into his barn. Another time in Matthew, when John the Baptist was preaching to his followers, he said, when some of them asked from the crowd, are you the Christ? Are you the one that should come? And he said, no. He said, I'm the one that's preparing the way of the Christ. He said, there's one coming after me who I'm not even worthy to untie his shoes. He shall come and he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, right? And then he goes on to say, verse 12 in Matthew 3, he said, his winnowing fork is in his hand, which is something that's used when you're thrashing wheat to separate the wheat from the chaff. The chaff is mentioned in Psalms 1. The chaff is like the husk of the wheat, and that's something that you don't want when you're getting the wheat ready to put in the, you know, the bushels or in the silos or whatever. And so, you know, they take the winnowing fork and they usually go out in the wind kind of, and they take these big piles of wheat that just got harvested, and they take that big fork thing and they throw a big thing up in the air, and the chaff blows away because it's lighter, and the wheat falls to the ground. It's heavier. So he said, his winnowing fork is in his hand. He will thoroughly clear his threshing floor, and he will gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. I don't want to be chaff. I want to be the wheat. So you see the contrast. There's wheat, there's chaff. There's the blessed, righteous person, and there's the ungodly. Amen. I want to be what God wants me to be. Then in Matthew 25, Jesus tells a little parable, and he said the sheep were on his right hand and the goats were on his left hand. And he spoke to the sheep on his right hand, and he said, then the king will say to those on his right hand, Matthew 25:34, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Then he will say, and then before we get to 41, let's keep 34 up there, please. Then the ones on his right said, well, you know, when were we, you know, he's talking about, you know, because when I was sick, you helped me. When I was hungry, you gave me some food. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was in prison, you visited me. He goes, well, when do we do that? He goes, when you did it to the least of these, you did it to me. And he said, you're on my right hand because of that. And you're sheep. Amen. And then he said to the ones on the left that he called goats. He said, because when I was thirsty and hungry and in prison, and when I was, you know, naked and you didn't clothe me and all this stuff, he said, then he will say to those on the left, depart from me, ye cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Amen. There's only two types of people. Like, the Bible just puts it aside. I know there's a lot of good people out there, and that's why we're praying, God, speak to them. God, touch them. We want everyone saved. We want everyone to come to repentance. We want everyone to taste of the heavenly gift and to be born again. 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 7, it says, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice verse 9. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Amen. So, you see, hell is bad enough being an eternal fire that, you know, keeps on burning and people, it's an eternal punishment. But another serious part of hell that's as bad or worse than the flames and the torment is the fact that the presence of God and the glory of his power will not be in hell. See, right now, God's Spirit fills heaven and earth. Right now, God's Spirit is even though people don't realize it's there because they're not looking for it, it's in even the most terrible places on earth right now, because his Spirit fills heaven and earth. But this is a place where his Spirit won't be at all. Even with people trying to call on him from that place, it won't be there. They will be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. And, you know, this is serious stuff. You know, really, when you think about it, you know, eternity is something we have to have on our minds, because we can easily be caught up in the day-to-day, the temporary, and all the stuff we're facing. But we got to, in the back of our minds, and not even in the back, you know, in the middle of our minds, we got to have an eternity consciousness that, you know, I want to keep on this road. Amen. This road for the Lord. Praise God. Revelation 20, verse 11. Amen. Don't worry, I'm not going to end on, you know, these verses. I'm going to end on the verses, you know, for the eternity in heaven with Jesus. Praise God. But first, Revelation 20:11 said, I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the heaven, the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was no place found for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, and stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Remember that, those four words, according to their works. Verse 13, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. There it is again. twice, those four words, according to their works. And verse 14, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Amen. According to their works. What does that mean? It means that they chose, as our text passage, blessed is the person that doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, that doesn't stand in the way of sinners, that doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful, but their delight is in the law of the Lord, and they meditate day and night. But the ungodly are not so. They're going to be like the chaff that blows away in the wind, and they won't stand in the judgment. They won't sit in the congregation of the righteous, amen, unless they want to come, amen. But do you know why they won't sit in the congregation of the righteous? Not because they're not welcome. Everybody that comes in unsaved is welcome. How are you going to get saved if you don't come in here and get saved? Amen. But if they don't want it, if somebody doesn't want to change, they're not going to be able to sit in the congregation of the righteous and feel the presence of God and our worship and the word of God being preached. If they do not have even a little bit in their heart to want to change, they're going to want to run out the back door, because that's not for them. But we want it to be for them. We don't want them to run out the back door. Amen. So what does it mean? They will be judged according to their works. It means that they chose to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. It means they chose to stand in the way of sinners. It means they chose to sit in the seat of the scornful instead. And because of this, their names were not written in the book of life. I'm praying, we don't know when God's coming back, but every day it's an opportunity for someone to be born again, opportunity for someone to repent and be baptized and filled with the Spirit, opportunity for someone to change from one type of person to the other type of person, and on the road to a bad place and changed on a road to a good place. Amen. So my landing gear is down now. So let's end this on a great note of a beautiful thing for those that are blessed, those that are serving the Lord. I want to be a blessed person. I want to walk in the ways of righteousness. I want to live according to His word. I want to hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Revelation 21:4, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." I like that. "There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." That's for the blessed people. Amen. Chapter 21 goes on to describe in great detail some of the wonderful things about the New Jerusalem. You know, Jesus mentioned that. He didn't call it New Jerusalem, but he said, you know, in John 14:1, I don't have this verse, but he said, you know, "Let not your heart be troubled. You know, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again, that where I am, and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." He's talking about New Jerusalem. I don't know what kind of mansion it is, because we're going to be in a different, we're going to be like a spiritual being. We're going to be different. We're going to be like, you know, we're going to be like Him. Now, what was He like? When He rose from the dead, they could touch Him. Because remember Thomas, he goes, "Here, Thomas, you said you wouldn't believe until you put your fingers in the nail prints and put your hand in my side." And he was able to touch Jesus. And then Jesus disappeared. He could walk through the wall, and He could even eat and disappear and walk through the wall. And the food went with Him. So that's why we're going to have, you know, marriage supper of the Lamb. We're going to be eating in heaven. I'm all over that. I like that. I don't think we're going to have to even eat to live. We're going to eat to enjoy. Amen. Because we're going to be a different. We're going to go from corruptible to incorruptible, from mortal to immortal. Amen. You know, praise God. And so Jesus described that a little bit early for us in John 14. So, in you know, when we read down in chapter 21, it says that the city and its streets were made out of pure gold, like transparent glass. The gates were made of pearl, not just a bunch of pearls, but one huge pearl. I never saw an oyster that big, but there's 12 gates, and each gate is one made out of a whole pearl. I mean, I can't even imagine it. It's awesome. That's why that song, I Can Only Imagine, right? Amen. You know, and so the walls were made of jasper, and the foundations were made of 12 precious stones that were inlaid, amen, into these walls. Revelation 21, that the greatest thing is not what it's made out of, but what who's going to be there. Amen. Revelation 21, 22, but I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. 23, the city had no need of sun or the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. And finally, Revelation 22, 1 through 5, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb, in the midst of the street of it. And on either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever.
What an incredible message. Thank you again for joining us on the podcast, and may God bless you.